Okay, let's start off by talking about cryptocurrencies, because they are quite central to alt tech after all. I should just start with the disclosure that I've been a Bitcoin holder for several years. I definitely want cryptocurrencies to succeed. However, I do see several shortcomings in the crypto space. And I think most cryptocurrencies, if not all cryptocurrencies, have some serious, if not fatal, flaws. And so I want to talk about them today, sort of as a devil's advocate argument, but also because I think it's by no means obvious that cryptocurrencies will take over the world or let alone replace any national currencies in the near future. Well, let's start off just with the very fundamentals. What is money in the first place? Now, I'm not going to go into a history lecture here, but a pretty commonly agreed upon definition of money is that it has to be durable, divisible, convenient, consistent, and it has to have use value in and of itself. Cryptocurrencies, let's use Bitcoin as the main example here. It ticks most of these boxes. Well, it's not necessarily convenient to use it yet, but it is usable. But the final point there about money needing to have use value in and of itself. Bitcoin does not have value in and of itself. Now, this argument might annoy a lot of hardcore Bitcoin holders, but I think it's quite obvious that a Bitcoin, well, you can't put it in your hand, you can't do anything with it. It pretty much doesn't exist to begin with. Well, why is that important? Well, if you look at pretty much the oldest form of money, or not the oldest, but one of the oldest forms of money that has existed on any meaningful amount of scale, i.e., gold, it definitely has value in and of itself because, well, let's face it, even a crow will understand that gold is valuable. It will try and swoop in and steal it from you if you're not careful. And also, you can actually use gold to make items. You can use it to make ornaments or jewelry or whatever you want to do with it. It even has some value in electronics and so forth. So it does have value in and of itself because it is usable in and of itself. That's not the case, as I said, with Bitcoin. And if you look at other forms of money that have sort of emerged naturally, all these forms of money have had some kind of value in and of themselves, such as salt or squirrel skins or whatever it might be. Also, it's interesting to look at how money emerges in certain microcosms, such as in prisons. You'll see there that what turns into money is usually, well, useful items such as cigarettes or tuna cans, sardine cans, that kind of a thing. And also, I should mention that those are fairly durable, divisible, not necessarily, but they are convenient and consistent. So that's why they emerge into currency. So I think right now we are basically in the alchemical period of money. We're trying to kind of reinvent money, and we're you can see this in how we're trying to create a whole bunch of new cryptocurrencies, and it's not necessarily going all that well. But I want to just continue on this value in and of itself argument. So some of the crypto aficionados, they will say, well, it has value because it is backed by something. It is backed by the network. Well, you can make that argument about basically anything. You can make that argument about, I don't know, shares in Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme. Those will have value because, you know, you can sell it to another fool and there's a network of people who might agree that they are valuable and they'll buy it. Well, that does not give it value in and of itself. Also, the network itself is not valuable. And the reason I say that, because it is not used for transactions. It's not used for buying goods and services. I read a study recently that said that about 1% of the transactions on the blockchain network is actually purchases of goods and services. And if you look at what Bitcoin was meant to be originally, i.e., peer-to-peer digital cash, well, it's not working as that by any stretch. And if you look at it, look at using it for you know, as a replacement for cash, well, it's slow and it's expensive and it doesn't work very well. And believe me, I've tried to make transactions and to sort of live more of my online life with Bitcoin. It's not the easiest thing to do, actually. So this peer-to-peer cash thing, that's not how Bitcoin has kind of unfolded. The use case for Bitcoin is basically speculation. That's what it's being used for. People are buying it in the hopes that it will go up, and they evaluate the performance based on the dollar price, which I find quite interesting. Some people have suggested that, well, it's not necessarily peer-to-peer cash, you know, it's more digital gold. Well, let's go back to why you might want to use gold in the first place. Well, it is durable, divisible, convenient, consistent. It has value in and of itself. If you look at, and you use it to basically anchor your purchasing power, to store your purchasing power, Bitcoin has not necessarily done that all that well, depending on when you have entered the market. Sure, if you bought it very early on, you've basically ridden a rocket, but if you bought it in 2018, early in 2018, probably it's been a pretty horrible investment. It has not served to anchor your purchasing power to anything real. We'll still see where it goes. Bitcoin could still go up exponentially from here. I think that, yeah, it might well happen. It's too early to tell still. But it's not obvious that it is a good, sound storage of value vis-a-vis gold. So again, speculation is the main use case. And that's just some of the fundamentals that we had to get out there. Secondly, when you look at Bitcoin, I don't think that it actually promises this utopia of, you know, purely free markets and sound economics and a sound financial system, because if you look at the reality of the situation right now and the wealth distribution in the crypto space, I mean, it is pervertedly skewed. It is absolutely absurd. We're already living in the world where billionaires ascend to the highest political office. Now, can you imagine a world where you'd have trillionaires? It's a ludicrous idea. And this talk about banking the unbanked and the cryptos facilitating that, well, that's not going to happen, because the unbanked, as it were, they're going to be the last to hit the spigot, so to speak. They're going to be the last to enter the crypto space when all the holders have hoarded as much as they could. So that's obviously not going to happen. If you think that the wealth distribution is problematic today, Bitcoin is going to make that potentially much, much worse. Also, just to switch gears a little bit here, the whole construct of mining Bitcoins, well, that in and of itself is kind of a ludicrous idea, because some people might say that the reason Bitcoin has value is because a lot of work is going into validating transactions. Well, just the fact that a lot of work is being done to facilitate the transaction does not give the currency value. It doesn't give, for example, if I go out and dig for gold with a teaspoon, that does not make the gold more valuable. And even if the whole world does the same, that does not make the gold more valuable. The effort that you put into extracting a resource is not what gives the resource its value. It is the marketplace that gives the resource the value at the end of the day. So the whole the current kind of proof of work method for mining Bitcoin, I mean, it's an environmental disaster for one thing, and yes, people will make the argument that we'll look at what an environmental disaster the fiat currencies are. Well, that's a bit of a whataboutism argument, really. And also, nobody really knows what's going to happen when we finally start mining the last Bitcoins. Is there going to be a strong enough incentive just to keep on validating transactions? These are not clear scenarios at all, and nobody knows for a fact that how this is going to play out. Of course, again, the true aficionados and the zealots will take a sort of naive stance on this, and they assume that everything has been worked out by Satoshi from day one. Well, let's talk about Satoshi. Nobody even knows who he is. And a lot of people just brush that off, thinking, well, I'm sure he's just a really nice guy. We don't know this for a fact. Chances are, if you ask me, this might well be some kind of a government entity. And if, let's say, a few years down the line, when let's say that Bitcoin does manage to bite a big chunk out of the dollar reserve currency status, and that the mark that Bitcoin utilization goes up 100-fold, well. And let's say you start seeing the Satoshi coins, and he has millions of them, by the way, or certainly a lot of them. If that were to happen, you know, well, what does that do to the entire marketplace? And I mean, imagine today if all of a sudden you had a market entrant stepping into the global markets with, you know, $100 trillion worth of capital. You know, what would that do to the global marketplace? I don't know. But if it turns out that, oh, actually, it was the CIA or the NSA that created Bitcoin, and all of a sudden they are trillionaires, that's not a utopian world to me at all. But we know. We don't know. We don't know who he is, and I think we can't just assume that you know, like I say, he's a nice guy, because we don't know that. Finally, I guess, the Satoshi's vision has, I mean, I don't know how many of the programmers that are participating in the Bitcoin project are actually even trying to stay true to the original vision. I don't know if anybody exactly knows what the true vision is, and that is why the whole crypto space has become so fragmented in this day and age. So it is a bit of a the whole currency project, Bitcoin currency project, is a solution looking for a problem, really. It doesn't function well as a currency. It doesn't function well as a store of value. Nobody knows in which of those two directions it should be pushed in, or it should be developed in. It's a headless chicken, and the main use case at the moment is speculation. If you want to take a gamble on it, by all means, jump in. There may be an astronomical gain still to be had here, but it is not obvious that Bitcoin will conquer the world. And very lastly, I would say, if that were to be the case, if Bitcoin starts to get more of a foothold to the degree that it starts actually jeopardizing national currencies, don't think for a second that the governments of the world won't stomp down hard on Bitcoin. And yes, you might say, well, it's impossible because they are distributed systems. Well, if you start seeing a law out there that says Bitcoin is now a crime, not only that, but possessing Bitcoin with the intent to distribute is an offense, and you risk 2 years in prison just for that, 5 years in prison. Who knows how desperate the governments will become. A lot of people, a lot of law-abiding citizens will stop holding Bitcoin in a heartbeat. So we haven't seen the true response yet of governments, and I think it will be quite severe. So I think there are a lot of reasons to be quite skeptical. I'm still going to be holding a small portion of it, or a portion of it myself, just to see how it plays out, but tread with caution. Have fun.